M48. Practice on the four levels of science. Number 1A.
Having seen how consciousness comes to the point of complete oneness with the I Am, which is the pinnacle of science, science itself, we can now ask ourselves, what then is the practice of this chart? If we start right on the top of the chart with science itself, which we have depicted through the symbol principle alone as the peak symbol of the synonymous terms, so we mean by that principle something very definite. We don't mean by that that principle knows all its ideas, or that principle is one with all ideas. It's a much higher concept. If it's only the I Am, then we can only consider principle there as principle which says, I am my only infinite mind, where principle only can identify itself with another principle, as another synonymous term. So here we are not considering what principle does to man or to a situation. Here we are at that exalted, all-embracing state of consciousness where we see that principle is only concerned with him, with itself. The I is concerned with the N, the I Am, and doesn't let thought drop to any other level at this stage. And so we can say, well, what then is the practice of it? How does it apply to the practice? Well, that naturally would be one of the highest form of practice, which says there is no practice. There is nothing to be demonstrated. No. We ask, how can I demonstrate this thing? Why do you ask that? Only because we feel we are outside. Only that, because of that. If we would see that there is only one I Am, never would a thought enter into our consciousness that we have to demonstrate it. The principle of mathematics doesn't demonstrate itself to itself. It only demonstrates itself to the outward and knowing investigator, but to itself it doesn't. So the highest practice really is there where I can see that nothing has to be demonstrated. I know that if we come to this point, that somehow the student feels, but that can't be enough. That leaves me alone and isolated and in the ditch. But it isn't. See, the human mind only says, I have this and this problem, and the divine principle should solve this problem. But we say that. And we have seen yesterday that the best thing is, in practice, not to go out from a problem at all. But if we go out from the infinite principle, we see that the highest practice is that there is nothing to be practiced upon, but that the highest practice is to see what principle knows about itself. Principle's own consciousness of itself. Principle being conscious that it is its own mind, its own spirit, its own soul. A principle is its own principle, its own life, its own truth, its own love. Again, this is something I cannot teach. I don't think I can. It's something I can point out. But if there is silence, and silence tells us everything, And if that silence is principle, and we know inwardly the synonymous terms, then an enormous encompassing sense of being comes upon us. Then we begin to see that principle is its own mind. Well, principle, therefore, is mind, its own mind. There is no other mind. All the problems we have is because the law of causality has said, because there is belief, there isn't disharmony. Because there is mortal thinking, there is disharmony. Everything in the world of disharmony and inharmony or discord seems to hinge on a mind outside of the divine mind. But if we see that principle is its own mind somehow, then we see that nothing is ever going on but that which principle conceives as divine mind, as infinite mind. Nothing is happening, nothing is brought into being, nothing is created, nothing is projected into being but that which principle knows about itself, because it is its own mind. What else could there be if we somehow catch that? Then we are quite aware that if principle is its own infinite mind, that principle always, at every moment, at every time, under every circumstances, is the power and the action and the law of principle, because it's mind, its own mind. The higher we go, and this, as we see for the moment, that's the highest level of thought, that science, the simpler the language becomes. It's so simple that if one says it, it may not move one's inner consciousness to the altitude which it has within itself. But in silence, when one thinks about it, it comes. It's so simple. So I would suggest that you would try it out for yourself. This is the highest practice we can have, to sit back. As you know the synonymous terms, actually if you don't know the synonymous terms, you are at loss. You just swim around. You swim around in holy thoughts and in night thoughts and in ephemeral thoughts and in ephemeral awareness and I don't know what. But the moment we know the signs of it, the synonymous terms of it, that principle becomes so definite, so secure within us and gives such a comfort within us and says, don't bother about anything, because in being, in principle, there is nothing going on than principle knowing itself as mind, the only mind, the only knowing, the only cause, the only motion, the only motive. There is no evil thought going on. How Christian Scientists are afraid of malpractice. Golly, I don't know where. Why? Why should they be afraid of malpractice? If I have time, I would like to show you towards the end a bit about that. That Mrs. Eddy didn't know how to handle malpractice until very late in her discovery. Only then she began to see what so-called malpractices, and began to see that her concept of malpractice was wrong. But because all these things are still in the literature and in the journals and in the sentinels, and as Christian Scientists think, they learn a lot if they dig into these old things and take every word Mrs. Eddy had said in the earlier times, where she was trying to find out what evil thought is, what malpractice is, they take those early statements as absolute. Therefore they are afraid to the bones of malpractice, of evil influence. Here we aren't, because we see principle, the only being there is conscious of itself as divine mind, as infinite mind. Principle is its own infinite spirit. So the Spirit blows where it wants, governed by the one principle. So we don't have to care how each one develops, what each one has to do. We don't have to bully him around, to talk to him endlessly and make him see things which he doesn't want to see or can't see. If we are silent, really silent, and know the principle is its own infinite spirit, is its own infinite development, is its own infinite ordering of things. Infinite ordering. Therefore, every little detail is ordered by the one principle who only knows itself as the infinite spirit, the Holy Ghost, the development of life, truth, and love. Then that speaks more than every word we can speak. Much more. That's why principle is its own soul. Soul testifies to itself. Soul communicates itself. We don't have to communicate in any other way but in that awareness that principle itself is soul, is testifying for itself, is showing its own identity everywhere. Principle does it. I don't have to be soul's representative at that point. I don't have to be. Principle is its own soul. Principle is the representative of soul at that point. Not I, not man. Principle. Can you see that the Bible went as far as what John Dolly or Mrs. Eddy called divine science? To that point where we see that I have the mind of Christ. But science goes further. It shows that principle is mind. The principle is its own mind. That principle has the mind of Christ. That principle is its own spirit. The principle is its own soul. See, that's what I feel is the mutation out of the belief that we are men into a much higher concept that not I have the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Christ, that all have the mind of Christ. Principle has the mind of Christ. Principle is its own principle, is its own infinite principle. And only because principle is its own infinite principle, all so-called principles are governed by principle. And therefore, only because principle is its own principle, we can have divine cybernetics. Only because of that. Only when principle is its own principle to itself, therefore it is the self-governing, self-organizing, self-operative structure of being. Only because of that. So cybernetics is again something... Oh, if I have time, I will show you that. How the metaphysics of cybernetics shows that man is passé. Passé. Finished. Finished. That's what happens. Divine material cybernetics will make man obsolete, with the danger of putting at its place a robot. Divine cybernetics makes man obsolete too, but puts in its place being, divine mind. So let's just see if we can touch the signs of the time which is upon us. The divine principle really is its own infinite life. Wonderful. I don't have to live neither a good life, neither have I to live God, but God lives by the fact that it is principle. Principle is its own life. Principle lives its own life. That takes us right out of all that religious and humanitarian sense of living ideas, of living science, of living God, of living this and living that. That's all living with a small L, but principle is its own life. And only because principle is its own life, there was evolution. No man has thought out how that inorganic stuff of matter, which was called about 4 or 5 billion years ago the Earth, how does that inorganic matter could be made organic matter? How that organic matter could made to be, to evolve, to diversify, to individualize? No man has conceived of that. What then has been the life power of it, if it is not from man, from principle? Principle is the only life, and it is its own life. You see, we have to see here that we don't say here that principle is mind, that principle is spirit, that principle is soul. Here we see that principle is its own mind. If I just say principle is mine, I say, all right, that's fine, principle is mine, so I have to think about principle as mine. And I start right down about thinking about principle as mine. Here we see now, principle is knowing itself as mind. There is no, you see why it obliterates the concept of a personal I, of man, of personal thinking. Everything is obliterated. Here it's only the divine, infinite one knowing itself. We may be afraid that that is in the heaven, above, and in the clouds, and that it doesn't touch our human problem. Well, that's what is wrong about this concept. Who says so? If principle is its own infinite life, it's the life of infinitude. Nothing is excluded there. Not a single thing, right translated, right down to the level of Christian science, and even further down translated, right down to the level of argumentation and so on, is included. There is only one life. There are not many lives and many experiences and many situations. There is principle which is its own infinite. Always put the term infinite in the background of your thinking when you are thinking on that level. It is its own infinite life. Life of Earth. And so principle is its own infinite truth. Own infinite truth. Therefore, there is no question of knowing the truth. Do we know the truth? How can we know the truth? Well, if you want to know the truth, seek it. Here, we have reached the point where we can see that the divine principle is not seeking truth, is not finding truth, is not using truth, but is its own infinite truth, its own infinite rightness of everything, its own infinite adequacy of everything, its own infinite consciousness of everything. And so the divine principle is its own infinite love. Principle is loving itself. It's not me loving God, nor God loving me, nor me loving the neighbor. This is all still very good and human. But let's push on to that which is far more embracing, where we see that principle is its own infinite love. There is nothing more loving than to see that principle is conscious of itself. Because then we see that nothing is going to happen anywhere, at any time, which is not in line with principle. It's so encompassing, so encircling, that principle cannot be anything but remain principle, infinite principle. Well, these are things, as I said, which each one has to ponder for himself. Only then the holiness, the magnitude, the dignity, the comfort of this simple law of science will really mean something to us. Try it, if that is my advice. But don't try it once. Don't try it seven times. Try it a long time. Because everything which is of a new nature must be tried out, must be cultured, must be loved. And it may not humanly come at once. So be loving to the level of science. And you will feel, I'm quite sure, that if you touch that, that you feel that you find your peace. A peace that is strong. A peace that is dynamic. A peace that is explosive. All high spiritual insight are paradoxes. It's peace and explosion, both. Because if it wouldn't be explosion, it would be peace and final. There's nothing final about finding peace. Peace is something that always has to move onward and therefore always has to explode something. And it isn't an explosion which hurts for that consciousness which stays on the level of principle. It's only hurtful for that consciousness which does not want to go on. And that's good. That's very good. Let's see the infinite power that lies in consciousness. All right. Now, in this practice of this level of science, we have seen that in this law of principle not being its own infinite mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, we make no distinction between practitioner, treatment, patient, and healing. That division into four, which comes in at every treatment, does not appear on this level. On the level of science itself, we are not splitting up anything yet. We keep that together. There, we have no practitioner, no treatment, no patient, no healing. Because there is no necessity for demonstrating anything. So here we have really the highest sense of practice, the most united sense of practice. Because those four divisions which we make humanly into practitioner and the giving a treatment and the patient who receives the treatment and the effect of that treatment as a healing are only human conceptions of a process. It's putting the process of oneness into parts. And we do that for the sake of understanding it clearer. But here we don't. Here we don't. Here we are, if we could stay here, mind you, who can at the moment? But we always can try it. Here we really do the highest practice without thinking of me using science, its principle, knowing itself, without thinking this is a fine treatment which I have given. It's just staying within that one law of principle being its own infinite mind. We have nothing in our conceptual thinking which says this is this patient, this case and that case. And we don't expect this and that healing, because we are in the rhythm of wholeness.